Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and today I'm going to focus on Julia. Happy birthday, Julia, and happy birthday to Madge Cross, my mother-in-law. I don't know if she still claims to me as her son-in-law, but, you know, the Bible makes it clear, but that's, you know, again, I don't know how many people actually believe that, really. It's unfortunate. Julia's birthday is today, and I did the normal thing. I went out. It's become now my habit to go out to the side yard. It's about 100 feet away from the house and a little bit downhill. I decided today there's a tree that's been over well for years, and I just sat on it. It was, you know, very, very strange. And, you know, just, it's a guy thing, I guess. There was a couple of dead trees there. I mean, they're maybe, 4 inches in diameter. I've been dead for a long time. And we're leaning over and onto another tree, and I looked at it and I said, you know, that's actually blocking my view. So I pushed it over. It took some, actually I had to break it up and push it over. It's quite rotten, so it took a little while to break up. But see, guys are a little weird, aren't they? You know, just going out there and messing with trees, just strange fellows. But anyway, I went out there and I did my normal punishment. I mean, singing happy birthday to my Julia. Because she's an important girl to me, and I am really concerned for her because, you know, my understanding, she's been abandoned. But, you know, it's fascinating, isn't it? Apparently, we have one marriage where the husband, Isaac, abandoned the wife, Julia, which is a heartbreak. But he apparently, from as far as I understand, did it on his own volition. That's my understanding. Details that have been kept from me. Whereas in the case of my wife and I, my wife abandoned me, and I'm the one pursuing reconciliation. And it seems that, I don't know what people think about Isaac, but why am I the bad guy? I'm the one pursuing reconciliation, and I'm the bad guy. Isn't that interesting? It is my prayer that my Julia, in obedience to Christ, as I pointed out, it wasn't planned this way, but it was remarkable timing that obviously yesterday I did go on some detail on the idea of marriage begins with sex and ends with death, and argue from the Bible, which again, if it's not your reference, it doesn't mean anything, does it? If the state is your Lord, then the Bible is basically just a document that you could use whenever it's profitable to you. If Jesus is your Lord, then that's your reference. And as I tried to express yesterday, and you know, if there's any holes, yes, there are holes. But I'd be happy to engage anyone on this. But that's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, man's standards are here. The Lord's standards are way up here. And we don't go there, do we? I find that unfortunate. One other thing. A good friend sent me a link to an article. Nigeria blocks 73 million, million mobile phones for not registering in National Digital Identity Database. So a lot of countries are doing this, and the irony, this came from a news organization in India. India has a huge national database because they're registering all their population in order to get them in the database. It's a real big deal in India, and they pointed out what's happened in Nigeria, because this is it's being marketed. The narrative is being set up by people like the World Economic Forum. It was mentioned in the Global Governance Conference. It's mentioned by numerous other groups. The idea that you have a right to have your identity. In other words, you have a right to be in the system. They're marketing it is that it's important for you because you want to be able to get all your benefits as a citizen of whatever country, or eventually as a citizen of the world. So you want to be in the system. That's the way it's marketed. And my suggestion is run. Wherever you can, don't. Because you don't want to be in the system. If you're in the system, you are enslaved. But he gave this example, and he said, you know, because I've described now for years how to communicate securely and untraceable. Not just simply point-to-point encryption and things. No, there's no evidence that any communications is happening. It's a whole lot more than end-to-end communications. There's no indication this communications is happening. But there are issues when you have cell phones. And, so he said, here's a market, 73 million people. And yes, there is a market, but I'm not the one to drive this, which I expressed to him. And, because there's money to be made if you want to do it. And, the issue is Chauffeur Nexus is not the idea of one big corporation. You know, the thing that's in the news is the events around Twitter and so forth. But it's a one big corporation. And that's not my model. My model is a whole bunch of individual players. And they can talk to each other. And they don't have to know each other. But the back in the 1960s, I think it was 63, if I recall correctly, the movie came out, The Longest Day. And at that time, me as a little kid, actually back then, there was a time when I was a little kid, we went to the drive-in theater and watched The Longest Day, my mom and my dad, myself. I don't know where my sister was. She wasn't there that day. I'm pretty sure that's true. A lot of things with my sister are vague in my mind. But anyway, we went and saw the movie. And I remember various parts of it, and subsequently I've seen it again. But one of the things I remembered from that day, it sunk in with me. I didn't know why now. Then, I know why now. There was BBC, actually, was broadcasting on the radio a bunch of messages that didn't seem to make any sense. It's, here's a message, here's a message, here's a message, as if it's too targeted to somebody. And that's exactly what it was. Because the technique that was used then is they would give you a whole bunch of messages. Most of them are just completely random statements. The sun will rise tomorrow at 7:14 a.m. You know, whatever. Phil has a jar of peanut butter on his table. Things like that. And they make no sense. And so you have the scene of the one guy, a French guy, listening to the radio. He's listening intently, and his wife is behind him doing some stuff in the kitchen. And the message comes across: John has a long mustache. And at that time, obviously, I didn't. And for the last 9 years, yes, I have a mustache. But I caught that. And it wasn't because my name was John. It was the technique. Because what happened is, you see, in the movie, here's this French guy. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. John has a... I mean, he gets really excited because he hears about this. And then he does a bunch of things. He grabs the radio because, this is an old tube radio from year, 1940s. That takes it, kind of sticks it into a cabinet, because he was just so focused, and he was doing a bunch of things that were just kind of silly. He grabs a helmet, grabs a rifle and whatnot, and then he goes out and does some things, because what it was is there's a whole bunch of random messages, but one of those messages will have a particular meaning, a trigger, to one person, such as this gentleman. Another message will have a trigger to another person. They're completely independent of each other. No one knows the other. But you're always looking for that one message. That idea sunk in with me. I didn't know why. course, I know why now, obviously, when I got into cryptography and so forth. The way the cell phone of today works, when cell phones first started, there was limited computing power. So your cell phone would broadcast to a local tower and say, hi, I'm cell phone number 123, and you're tower number 456, and I'm going to let you know I'm here. So you can then, the tower 456 will report into the system saying, I'm tower 456, and I have cell phone 123 in my vicinity. So when a phone call comes in, the system will say, oh, well, cell phone 123 is that tower. We're going to connect to that tower, and that tower will connect to the phone. That's how the old system worked. And when you had limited capacity, it doesn't make sense. We don't have limited capacity anymore. So that basic technique still uses is used. The cell phone is constantly, constantly in the sense of, it's not every second, but it's periodically sending a message saying, I'm here. So it's not sending a message constantly, but regularly. And what that does is allows the phone call to be completed. It's completely unnecessary today. But it isn't changing. Why isn't it changing? Because what you're also doing is saying, I'm here. And unlike back then, where you were simply at cell phone tower 456, because now you have GPS in your phone, you can report in, I'm not just at this cell phone tower, I'm within a few feet of this location. So they know where you are, and you're reporting in constantly. The doors open to, because you have a microphone and all these kind of things, to listening when desired and those kind of things. Because obviously if you have a smartphone that Hey Google or Siri or whatever, the you have a keyword. How does it know when that keyword is said so it can interact with you? Because it's listening to you all the time. And again, and phone calls within the U.S. system are recorded at the Utah Data Center, at the San Antonio Data Center, and at Fort Meade, Maryland, and at the Donut in the U.K., and so forth. So your phone calls are recorded. And of course, obviously, Apple and Google and the various Skype, they're all recorded. Because data is cheap now. And it's there. Not because you're constantly being targeted, but obviously, you look at like Skype and whatnot. They can do immediate translations, voice translations. How do they do that? Because they convert the text. So your message is being transcribed constantly. So just like your emails, if you use Gmail, your emails are being read by computer and cataloged. And so are your phone calls, same way. So is there an alternative? Yes, it's John has a long mustache, where the system sends that message out. John has a long mustache, basically a large number instead. But the analogy holds, and so the system doesn't have to know where the phone is. It simply broadcasts it all over the place. And plenty of bandwidth to do this, just short numbers. And it's broadcasting a whole bunch of these random numbers. But suddenly, one says, oh, and it's unique each time. One comes to your phone, and your phone says, ah, that's a message for me. Most of these messages, it gets in, and it just ignores them. But the advantage with that is your phone is only listening. It is not reporting in constantly. So I could be here in Cleveland with a cell phone, and not reporting to the cell towers. Go to Chattanooga, Knoxville, Lexington, North Carolina, and get a phone call. Even though the system doesn't know where I am. But it goes one step further. The phone call that actually transpires, the system doesn't know who's talking to whom. And the phone call will complete. So you can. It is technically possible. It's an expansion of the John has a long mustache idea, but you can It is technically possible to have a completely anonymous cell phone system. Not a problem. The technology is not, it's not rocket science. It takes a little thought, but it's very doable. And for the end user, it works the same as a normal cell phone. Why isn't that done? Because the system wants to track you. Can it be done? Yes. Can it be done irrespective of the rest of the system? Yes. Can these 73 million Nigerians have phone service even though they're not in the system? Yes. Technology is not the problem. Clearly, there will be effort to regulate it. But the technology is not the problem. It would not take a whole lot of funding either. And of course, you know, the idea with Shofar Nexus, give it away for free. So, what's necessary? Someone who will say, I understand the idea. I may or may not have a long mustache. My name may or may not be John. But I understand the idea. Maybe I don't understand the technology, but I understand the idea. And I have, you know, the appropriate marketing, funding, and those kind of abilities to be the front man of this. There's money to be made. Serious money to be made if you want. But the issue is, it could be costly because there will be an effort to outlaw it easily. I mean, I mentioned how in Austria that a law has been put in place that looks like it'll make Shofar Nexus illegal and would make me liable. Well, so I won't go to Austria. But do it anyway. There's risk involved. You know, potentially fines, imprisonment, or death. Is there somebody willing? It's an honest question. Is there somebody willing to risk fines, imprisonment, and death to reach these 75 million Nigerians? Same thing has happened in... It's Pakistan has done similar things in Kashmir. The internet was shut down by India for a long while. And there are numerous other things that happen like this. And one of the other things about some of this technique is, well, for example, there was this volcano that went off. There was one west of Africa, and there was one in the Pacific, and various islands and whatnot suddenly got cut off from the rest of the world for a while. But with you can use the same technique, and you don't need the system to communicate. Because, you know, right now, if I communicate, you know, if I call my neighbor, it has to go through this huge system. And if that huge system goes down, I can't get to my neighbor. Whereas it doesn't have to be that way. It could be that it doesn't matter if the system's in place or not. You know, the big city. If I want to get to my neighbors, I should be able to get to my neighbors without the system. If I'm in Nigeria, if I'm an island somewhere, if I'm in out of the way place in Texas or Wyoming or in an apartment complex in New York or Chicago, I should be able to communicate with my neighbors without being in the system. Who has the courage to actually say, yes, we're going to go against the system? Because the cell phone is one of your worst enemies. Besides the tracking, it also changes people culturally and whatnot. But who has the willingness to drive this kind of technology? Like I say, technology is easy. But to push it, it takes something that very few people seem to have. Besides the courage, it takes love. You need to find somebody who says, okay, I'll take the risk. But, one of the things that's become so clear to me, I have something that very few people have. When it comes to the reconciliation thing, unlike the people I'm trying to reconcile with thus far, I can be able to go to my death saying I tried to reconcile. Thus far, no one has reciprocated. Lord willing, that'll change. In the same way, the idea of private communications, communications when the system doesn't know, and the related things, the shofar leaks, the shofar books projects, and so forth, perhaps they'll all fail. But I have something that most people don't have. I'll go to my deathbed trying. I'm not going to run. Are there risks? Yes. It's the verse, who do you fear? Don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear the one who can send your soul to hell. He's the one I fear. And it's the idea of a respectful fear. Because he also shows me love. And it's so compelling that I need to love in return. And as he says, if I can't love the people I see, how can I love this person I haven't seen, such as my Lord? So, right now I have a picture of this woman on a cell phone in Nigeria. I've never met her. But maybe there's an opportunity to love her, her family. Especially the way the picture is right now. All my pictures on the wall are my family, except this one gentleman here. He's in Syria. Shadi Sheda. He lost his family to a bomb hitting his house. And he's a follower of Christ. How do you bless these people? Because here's someone in Syria. I have particular people in mind, actually in Nigeria, who claim Christ. And would delight to be a blessing to them. There are people in South America that I actually have in mind that I would like to be a blessing to. But I'm the technology guy. I'm not the marketing guy. I'm the technology guy willing to risk everything. I have nothing left to lose. Where's the pusher? Where's the guy who can take this to market? Where's the one? Let's end with this, especially considering again, my concern today is my Julia. She has difficulties in her life. And I want her to know her dad loves her. But the verse I've used so many times, especially when I attempt to talk to my guys, my sons. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, andrizomai. Be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Act like men, also translated as courageous. To be strong, to be courageous, is seen in acting in love. I want that man. Preferably a young man, because if I get somebody involved in this, I want somebody who's not going to say, okay, I'll give it a try, maybe, you know, a few weeks, a few months, maybe a year. No, I want somebody who says, all right, this is my life. I am going to bless this lady that I have a picture of. I'm going to bless that man in other countries. I'm going to bless the person down the street. That is my life, and I'm not going to turn from it. I want to find that man. I pray the Lord grants me that gift in time. You know, and of course, well, the other aspect of this, you know, didn't want to get along. The other aspect is, I need somebody to get that out. And then eventually, I need somebody to mentor. So I can say, all right, you know, I'm 66. You know, by the time I'm 70, 75, I might not be as aggressive or even have the ability to do this. So again, I need to pass this to somebody else. And again, that person, I'm granting hell on earth. Where is that man? Someone who is strong, who is courageous, who stands firm in the faith, and everything he does is done in love. I need those men. And I have specifically said men, haven't I? Yes, for a reason. Now's the time, please, somebody. Lord, grant me that gift. Madge Cross, my mother-in-law. Happy birthday. Your son-in-law is trying to reconcile a family. Join me, please, in that effort. May the Lord bless you and Jim. Julia, your dad loves you. And Isaac, and Charlotte, and James. May the Lord bless all four of you. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. You know me well enough. I will stand firm on this. Join me, please. You promised. I love you and I want you back.